everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom, and today we're going to continue talking about how to tackle Taiwan's aging dilemma, and we want to tackle it head on. We want to take care of this problem face to face, directly, without beating around the bush, without stalling or delaying things, because, hey, this is a pressing issue, and people can't wait. They're aging all the time, and the population is getting older and older.So we need to do something. And last time we talked about a couple of government initiatives. What was it here? We had the LTC
1.0.
1.0.
1.0.
And then there was a 2.0, which came out in 2017.
Right.
And, of course, this is a government program. And that's fine and good. But, of course, the government is always short of money. They need to provide other systems and services like roads and highways and infrastructure. They need to have money for defense. So this is still a big problem, especially since there are fewer young people to be part of the tax base. So where's the government going to get money if there are fewer and fewer people working? It's a big problem. And so today we're going to continue talking about this and how the government is going to address its aging population.
Okay, guys, let's get started. We're going to read through today's lesson and then we'll be back.
While the Taiwanese government has made strides in addressing its aging population, it faces deep-seated cultural challenges. Asian values often favor family obligations over institutional care. Consequently, many Taiwanese opt to care for their elderly relatives at home, frequently turning to affordable migrant workers when additional assistance is needed.This choice further depresses wages for local caregivers in Taiwan, making the profession less appealing and thereby increasing the labor shortage. Taking a proactive approach to address this issue, the government has been venturing beyond traditional nursing methods since 2004. It introduced specialized training programs and certifications for resident care attendants, covering skills from physical care to emergency response.For those who earn the certification, the credentials are valid for life and enable them to work either in formal institutions or directly in clients' homes. It's heartening to note that private enterprises have now joined in, providing a range of corresponding job positions, furnished with competitive salaries and reasonable leave policies. Furthermore,Turning our gaze to Japan might provide Taiwan valuable insights into reshaping societal perceptions of caregiving. Far from being a mere occupation, caregiving in Japan is a respected profession filled with important value, known for its big impact on enhancing the lives of those unable to care for themselves. With a step-by-step certification system that rewards skills with better pay and career growth,Japan thus gives a fulfilling career path that encourages talent retention in the long-term care sector. The need for action is immediate. Whether drawing from international practices or crafting homegrown solutions, our primary goal should be a continuously improving care system that uplifts the lives of the elderly while offering sustainable careers for caregivers.
Okay, guys, let's dive in. This is day two of tackling Taiwan's aging dilemma head on. We don't want to avoid it. It's something we need to really be planning for because, as we talked about in day one, fewer and fewer young folks are having kids. And if they do have a child, they have one. And it's not enough to keep the population the way it is. We're just going to be reducing our young population and increasing our elderly population. Who is going to take care of all of us as we get older? So while the Taiwanese government has made strides in addressing its aging population, it faces deep-seated cultural challenges. A stride is literally a step, right? So if you have a long stride, you're probably talking about a guy who's very tall, who has very long strides. There's a lot of space between each step he takes. But we also use it in this way, which is a noun, and a stride can be a step in some sort of plan or some progress that you make in some sort of Huodong, I was going to say Huodong, some sort of activity that you're doing. You've made some progress. You've made some moves that are helping. So they have made strides. They've made some progress in addressing our aging population here. But if you have a deep-seated cultural challenge, it means there's something in the culture here that is preventing them from making the progress that they want. And in Asia, one of the things I love about the culture is you guys take care of your parents and your grandparents. You don't just, shove them off to an old age home or put them in a retirement home and then, you know, live up your life. A lot of Asian families actually have their parents in their own homes and they take care of them even when it's difficult.
Indeed. And we're talking about deep-seated cultural challenges. Like, for example, the cities in Taiwan want people to dispose of the dead people by cremation or things like that. But the cultural tendencies involves actually having a grave for the dead person, and that's a cultural tradition that's been around for centuries, so it's very difficult to change people's minds
and
on that one.
Yeah, if it's deep-seated, it just means it goes really deep into someone's core being.
Right. So let's talk specifically about what these cultural challenges are. Asian values often favor family obligations over institutional care. So institutional care would refer to programs funded by the government or care centers, retirement centers, assisted living facilities, or nursing homes or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we just think we should take care of our old people at home. We should not cart them off to nursing homes. And consequently, or as a result, many Taiwanese opt to care for their elderly relatives at home, frequently turning to affordable migrant workers when additional assistance is needed. So yes, indeed, you have your elderly relatives at home. You can still work during the day, but hey, who's going to take care of mom and dad or grandpa and grandpa when they're home all by themselves and they can't really take care of themselves and they can't get food for themselves? Well, they hire migrant workers. A lot of them come from Indonesia or other countries like that. And of course, it is quite easy, I believe, these days to hire somebody to be a caregiver. But maybe there's some other things we need to consider as well.
I wanted to mention with institutional, that's, of course, an adjective. But an institution can be just a big society, an organization that's formed or established for a particular type of work. We call our court system in America, institutions, those are institutions. Something that your government's developed is also an institution. A bank can be an institution. But here, institutional is talking about, as Tom said, putting your elderly into something like a nursing home or a retirement village, something like that, instead of taking care of them yourselves. So we've got a lot of Taiwanese who are opting to care for their elderly relatives at home. Opt is just another way to say choose. So they're choosing. Taiwanese are choosing to care for their relatives at home, frequently turning to affordable migrant workers. If you're a migrant worker, you usually go from place to place looking for seasonal work or work that's for a period of time. We've got a lot of workers here from Indonesia. I see a lot of them from Indonesia the most, I think. But they will come to Taiwan and help some of these families when additional assistance is needed. You'll often see them outside pushing the elderly along in a wheelchair or something like that. Or maybe even walking with them. Some of them can still walk and they'll be holding on to them.
And, of course, they're cheaper, so this choice further depresses wages for local caregivers in Taiwan, making the profession less appealing and thereby increasing the labor shortage. So, yes, indeed, if these caregivers from overseas are so cheap, then local people who want to be caregivers are not going to get paid very well, or they're not going to be able to find well-paying jobs because all the Indonesians or Vietnamese or whatever are doing those jobs, and so we're going to have problems with the labor shortage, and they'll keep having to invite these people into Taiwan, these migrant workers, and they'll come here. They're doing a good job, of course, and they are needed, but it still causes problems for the local population when they're looking for jobs.
Oh, yeah. We understand this in America because we've got an open border and all these migrants and are coming in. So it does affect the wages of the lowest class for sure. So moving on to paragraph two, it says, taking a proactive approach to address this issue, the government has been venturing beyond traditional nursing methods since way back in 2004. If you take a proactive approach, proactive means nobody tells you to do it. You do something on your own. Something that is most bosses are looking for out there are people who are proactive, that they can, look around and see what work needs to be done and they go do it. They don't have to be told. So this is a proactive way to confront or face this issue. And if you're venturing beyond something, to venture, when you use it as a verb, it gives this idea that you're trying to do something where the outcome is not certain. So you're taking kind of a risk in doing something. You're not sure what's going to happen, but you're hoping for the best in the future. If you're a venture capitalist, you're someone who has a lot of money who sees somebody who's an entrepreneur and thinks, I believe in them. I think they're going to come up with a good product or service, so I'm going to lend them money. They're a venture capitalist. But here, the government has been trying things that are a little bit risky, but they're hoping for the best.
Right, they're venturing beyond traditional nursing methods. They're trying new methods, and they've been doing this since 2004. And the government, it introduced specialized training programs and certifications for resident care attendants, covering skills from physical care to emergency response. So, of course, if you want people to look for jobs in this particular sector of the economy, you need to offer them training. So the government introduced these training programs, which are specialized. You need to have special skills to take care of people. Of course, they may have certain medical conditions, and you can't just, it's not all about just, giving them baths or whatever. There are more things to do regarding elderly care, especially for people with dementia or other such problems.
Yeah.
And so you need these certifications. You need some kind of a degree or some kind of certificate to say that you completed this course and that you're qualified to perform jobs in this particular sector.
Now, these are training programs and certifications for resident care attendants. That's what they're calling them. This is kind of the job title. A resident is someone who lives somewhere, and they're talking about people who actually live in a home or a nursing home as well and take care of somebody. If you're an attendant, you're a person who attends or takes care of somebody else. You're performing some sort of service. If you're in the UK, if you're an attendant in the UK, it's just someone who's an usher. Maybe you go to the theater and they take you to your seat. They look at your ticket and they take you there. They're an attendant. But here, it's somebody who is actually living with somebody needing their care, and they're taking care of them in whatever ways they need to. Some of these resident care attendants are responsible for giving someone their medicine or their medications, and you don't want to get those wrong because that can kill someone.
Right, so the training for the attendants covers skills from physical care to actually taking care of them directly to emergency response in case they have some sort of seizure or something like that.
Or maybe they fall.
Or they fall, right, so you need to have some sort of medical knowledge in terms of what to do. You don't want to make the situation worse. And we'll continue talking about this in just a couple of seconds. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. 我是派老师。今天讲解的是三月 Unit 15, Tackling Taiwan's Aging Dilemma Head-On, Day 2, 第二天的课程。这个单元谈到台湾步入超高龄社会，可以想见将来会有大量的长照需求，政府也与时俱进改善原本的长照制度，不过还是有许多需要改进的地方。今天的课程内容提到了一个关键点，就是照护人才的培养 cultivation， 与留任 retention， 在这方面台湾做的还不够好，可以多多参考制度比较完善的日本。好，我们一起来看学习重点吧。请同学看到第一段第一个句子， While the Taiwanese government has made strides in addressing its aging population. Aging population, ING 请圈起来，那人口不断的老化当中，所以呢我们说 aging 加上 ING has made strides。 好，这里呢就如同我们说 has made progress 是一样的，是有在进步的。好，那后面 it faces deep-seated cultural challenges， 这里 challenges 它所用的形容词是 deep-seated， 那就是什么根深蒂固的、啊、我们文化当中有一些元素是让我们要解决这个问题比较困难的。什么样的问题呀？第二个句子就告诉我们了， Asian values often favorFamily obligations over institutional care. 原来在亚洲大家比较偏好的还是由家庭承担起照顾的责任， favor A over B. 好，再来请同学看到第四个句子。好，那第四个句子就是我们台湾人也有类似的做法、啊、那台湾人呢会把自己家中需要照顾的长者留在家里，而不是呢在一个安置机构。那这个时候通常、哦、台湾的家庭会请外籍移工 migrant workers 来照顾他们。 This choice 指的就是台湾人这样子的做法， further depresses wages for local caregivers in Taiwan。 好，那老师刚刚提到了 this choice 所指的是台湾民众雇佣移工担任看护工作，而 depress 这个动词、哦、不是常见的会让人沮丧的意思，它指的是会拉低台湾本地照护人员的薪资这件事情。好，再来第二段第一个句子， Taking a proactive approach， 在 approach 方法途径前面这个形容词 proactive 是个很好的形容词哦。我们知道在面对问题的时候有很多不同的做法，有些人非常有远见，他们会防患未然，所以会采取比较积极的做法，所以在你想到可能发生什么问题，在问题发生之前你就已经采取了动作， proactive approach。 好，再来第二个句子的主要动词 introduce， 一样是什么推出引进的意思。好，这里推出什么样子的方案，就如同我们前一天课程所学习到的 roll out 是同样的意思。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about tackling Taiwan's aging dilemma head on. So we talked about how Taiwan's government has made a lot of progress in addressing its aging population. I think all Taiwan's government had to do was look around Asia and see Japan first. Japan had this problem long before Taiwan did, where they just weren't replacing their population with young kids and babies.People were just getting old and not having a replacement babies, you know, and you have to replace your population or soon you've got too many old people and not enough young people who are paying taxes or taking care of these people. So you have a mess. You don't have enough money. And that's what we're facing now. But we learned that Taiwan's government started addressing this situation in the early 2000s. And it even introduced specialized training programs and certifications for resident care attendants. So they would have real training. And then they could take that certification and go from place to place. And get a job that way. And it covered skills from physical care to emergency response. What if someone stops breathing? How do you give them that CPR that keeps their heart beating at least until maybe an ambulance service can come and pick you up and help you that way? So for those who earn the certification, what happens then, Tom?
Well, for those who earn the certification, the credentials are valid for life, and they enable them to work either in formal institutions or directly in clients' homes.
Mm.
So you've got these credentials, you've got these qualifications, these things that you have achieved. They are the things that you've earned through study. You've completed the program. You've got the certificates. You've got the certification, I should say.
Yeah.
And they're valid for life. If something's valid, it is effective. It's not illegal. You can use it for the rest of your life. I guess a college degree is valid for life. You know, it's, of course, you can never, no one can take that away from you. You have graduated from a university, so that's valid for life. And in this particular case, the certification or the credentials are good for life. You can use them all the way until you die yourself. And again, this certification or these credentials will enable you to work either in formal institutions like a nursing home or an assisted living facility or whatever, or you could actually go straight to someone's home where the person resides.
So you have a lot of flexibility there. So you could work in the formal institutions like nursing homes, or maybe you're employed privately and you work in a client's home.So it's heartening to note. If something's heartening, it makes you feel better. It kind of picks up your spirits. It's heartening to note or to observe that private enterprises have now joined in. So we've got private institutions that are now joining in and trying to solve or resolve this problem. And they're providing a range of corresponding job positions furnished with competitive salaries and reasonable leave policies.One of the problems for some of these domestic or migrant workers who were taking care of the elderly is they never got any days off. They never got vacation. I've heard of some horror stories. There are a lot of Filipinos who I would go to church with on Sunday, and it was very hard for them even to get, you know, 3 hours off on a Sunday. So, but the laws have been improved here in Taiwan to protect these migrant workers. But we're also looking at Taiwanese who actually want to get into this line of business, who want to earn that certification and have those credentials, kind of like a certificate that they can take with them.Proving that they have had the training, they're certified, and they can take care of the elderly, whether it's in a nursing home, an institution-like place, or a private home. It's good to see that private enterprises are now helping out. And they are offering a range or different types of jobs that you can apply for, and they're furnished with, or they come along with, competitive salaries that...You know, are salaries that are appealing to people who are out there looking. And they also have reasonable or fair leave policies where you can take a vacation when needed.
Right. So some people who have jobs as Uber or Food Panda delivery people, maybe this might be an option for you to become a caregiver. It might be not as dangerous as driving your scooter at 90 kilometers per hour to make a delivery, to make whatever, 50 NT or whatever it is you make per delivery. It might be an option for lots of people out there.
Come to my house and you always get a tip.
Okay, there you go. And furthermore, or in addition, turning our gaze to Japan might provide Taiwan valuable insights into reshaping societal perceptions of caregiving. So, of course, there are other countries who experience this problem as well, so it would be a good idea to learn from each other.
Sure.
And so, yes, we need to turn our gaze to Japan. We need to look at Japan, and we might get some valuable insights.And these insights are all about changing or reshaping societal perceptions of caregiving. So, yes, in the past, we had some certain ideas about caregiving. We probably need to change with the times because demographics are changing. Societal means having to do with society. Perception here is just how you perceive or how you see something, how you interpret something. So, again, caregiving has a certain way in which it is looked at by people. But, yeah, we do need to change this a little bit or make adjustments as time moves on.
That's right. So far from being a mere occupation, far from being means it's the opposite of just being, just some sort of job. Caregiving in Japan is seen as a respected profession, something that people value. It's filled with important value. Hey, they're taking care of someone you love. I would think it would be a respected profession. It's known for its big impact on enhancing the lives of those unable to care for themselves. If you enhance something, you make it better. You improve its quality or its value or maybe even attractiveness. One of the things that enhances these job positions that are opening up is that the salaries are better. If you say something has a competitive salary, it means it matches other jobs out there, so you can pick the one you like the most. So, yeah, it should be seen as a respected profession, especially if you love your family members that you need help with. So with a step-by-step certification system that rewards skills with better pay and career growth, there's even a way to, keep growing in this career. Japan thus gives a fulfilling career path or, pathway that encourages talent retention. Retention means to keep good people. So if you can retain your talent in a corporation, it means you offer them enough money for them to stay. So in the long term, this is going to be helpful in this long-term care sector.
Right. Sector here just means an area or a portion. In this particular case, we're talking about different sectors of the economy, the service sector, the manufacturing sector, the finance sector, etc. And this is all about the long-term care sector. People may actually find this an attractive option. Right now, I think people think, oh, a caregiver, that's what the migrant workers do. I'm not going to do that. But if we offer competitive salaries and benefits and things like that, more local people might be interested. Now, here in the final paragraph, it says, the need for action is immediate. We need to do this right away. Whether drawing from international practices or crafting homegrown solutions, our primary goal should be a continuously improving care system that uplifts the lives of the elderly while offering sustainable careers for caregivers. So here we've got this pattern, whether it's this or whether it's that. So whether we're learning from the way other countries are doing this, or whether we're learning or whether we are crafting or creating our own solutions, our own homegrown solutions, local solutions.
Yeah.
Well, whether no matter what it is, our primary goal should be to have this continuously improving care system. And we need to uplift the lives of the elderly. We need to continue to let them know that they're vital parts of society, that they aren't a burden, that it's worth having them around. And we also need to offer these careers for caregivers so that they feel useful as well.
Yeah, I think right now, I think the biggest challenge is trying to reshape societal perceptions. Because as Tom mentioned, a lot of people see these resident caregivers as these migrants who come over and they're paid very minimum wages to do a lot of hard work, actually. Mm. We need to change how people view this particular job, because they really are quite important to us, if not just your own family members who are being cared for, but those who are able to go out and not have to worry about who's taking care of their mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. Okay, guys, that's it for now. We're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
我们接着看第二段三跟四这两个句子，请同学特别注意到的是第四个句子哦。第四个句子这里提到了在动词后面的这个部分分词构句 providing a range of corresponding job positions 后面还有一个动词 furnished with 可是这个动词是做了动词变化的它后面加了 ed 那一般而言我们看到 furnish 都会想到跟家具有关但这里并不是而是指这些职务这些工作他们的薪水都很不错所以我们会说这些工作都支付非常好的薪水 competitive salaries competitive 当然不是指跟竞争有关的而是指这些薪资呢是相当优渥的好还不错的薪水再来请同学看到第三个段落好那我们其实可以参考日本的经验 turning our gaze to Japan might provide Taiwan valuable insights into， 请同学把 into 圈起来。我们如果呢去看看日本，俗话说得好，他山之石可以攻错，那我们也可以有效法的对象。那日本做得很好，他提供给我们一些比较深入的资讯，那我们也知道自己该怎么做。 insights 后面是 into， 那我们就知道要怎么样改变社会对照护员的看法。那第二个句子 far from being a mere occupation， far from being， 请同学画起来，后面的主要子句是 caregiving， 那这里其实是有省略的， caregiving is far from being。 好，那原来啊，照护它一点都不只是一个职业哦，在日本，日本人没有把它只看成一个职业，它是 respected profession， 是一个什么受到尊敬的专业。后面的动这个形容词 respect 加上 ed 是受到尊敬、受到推崇的。好，所以我们用过去分词加 ed。 再来，请同学看到第三个句子，这里就提到了我最开始的时候讲到台湾虽然做得不错，但还是有改善的空间。 talent retention， 要留住人才，动词应该是 retain， R-E-T-A-I-N， 那名词就是 retention。 好，那再来我们看到第四段的第二个句子，不论是要跟国际上其他国家学，还是要发展我们自己的方法， drawing from， 那就是从国际上这些做法向日本身上来学。那后面呢所讲的就是我们最主要的目标应该要不断不断的去改进我们既有的缺点，那让这个制度 This care system that uplifts the lives of， 这里的 uplift 指的就是改善的意思。好，以上就是我们针对台湾长照制度课程内容第二天所做的中文讲解，谢谢大家。
That brings us to the end of our article for today. Thanks for joining us. And if you have seniors in your home that need special care, hopefully things will be brighter in the future and everybody will benefit from how we handle this problem. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.